Message tonight is out of Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, adjusting ministries to fit priorities and needs. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. Accordingly, we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the early church era as it is presented in the book of Acts. Well, Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7 reveals the need to adjust our ministries in the local church to fit biblical priorities while also meeting spiritual needs. It's a big issue in today's churches where there's a lot of program development especially. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Tremendous passage of scripture. Due to human weakness, a great need arose in the early church on the support of the so-called Grecian widows. The word Grecians refers to Grecian Jews who could not speak Aramaic, the native tongue of the Jews living in Israel, and who were raised outside of the land and spoke both Greek and their native tongues. See, they might have spoken the native tongues of the Elamite or the people around Antioch, Pisidia and Antioch, or some other languages. Everybody spoke Greek because Greek was the language that everybody had to have in order to do business. And that's why the New Testament's written in Greek. But there were a lot of other languages at the time. And this was an issue. And of course, if you were an Aramaic speaking Jew and you lived in Israel, you were different from the Grecian Jews who lived outside of Israel. And so you weren't really at home when you're a Grecian Jew, you came there. So the two often didn't mix, and there was often a lot of tension between these two groups of Jews. In contrast, the native Jews spoke Aramaic and Greek. And in the Jewish world, tensions existed between the Grecian Jews and the Aramaic speaking Jews. The Aramaic-speaking apostles, who were dispersing the material goods from the gifts that were laid at their feet, and you remember back in Acts chapter 4, verses 34 to 35, the people would sell the property or the lands, and they'd come and they'd take the money and they'd put it at the feet of the apostles. They knew the Jewish widows, but they were ignorant of those who were Grecian Jewish widows. See, they didn't mix. So the apostles were dispersing goods to the former, that is to the Aramaic-speaking Jews, but neglecting the Grecian-speaking Jews, or the Grecianized Jews. Well, consequently, this situation led to displeasure and complaints. The Greek word is gongousmos. You have two gammas there together. You have an NG sound, gongousmos, by the Grecian Jews against the native Jews in the church. Now, what's interesting is how the apostles solved this problem. There was a potential problem of tremendous disunity that was here underneath the surface. And if the apostles had let this go, this could have really erupted and split the church. So what they did, they wisely addressed the problem head on. That's the best way to handle it. First, they called the entire congregation together to produce a unifying solution to the problem. You probably had close to 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people at this time. So they called them together. This is like a huge church, local church. Called the whole group together, which is tremendous. In this meeting, the apostles announced that though the need of meeting the widow's livelihood needs was important, they themselves had a higher calling, that of feeding the church of God. that is feeding at God's word. So you have two feeding ministries that are going on. You have the physical feeding of the widows with the physical food and probably material possessions, clothing, that type of a thing. You also had the feeding of the spirit, the spiritual realm. Now, in some churches today, they put a much higher priority on the physical and meeting that rather than the spiritual needs. And that's why a lot of pastors are not feeding their flock from the church, from the pulpit. My experience has been is if there's a drop in the feeding of the flock of God from the pulpit, everything else eventually disintegrates because all you become is just a club. So there has to be the ministry of the word. And if you look at the early church was continuing constantly in the apostles' teaching. The apostles' doctrine is extremely important. That was the lifeblood of the church. And then everything else flowed out from that. So the apostles said it's not reason. And the word reason translates the adjective autostos. It means it's not pleasing or desirable. And it suggests what is pleasing and desirable not only to man but to God. God wanted the word of God preached, just like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, preach the word in view of the coming of Christ. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and so forth. So they then made a proposal that addressed both the spiritual priority and the material needs. Now you couldn't forget these widows. These widows, they were new Christians, and they had to eat. You know, that's something that we all need. We need food. Otherwise, we don't live very long. So first, the apostles addressed the need of the neglected widows in Acts chapter 6, verse 3. They urged the congregation to select 7 men out of their midst. Now, why 7 men? There was a Jewish tradition in which 7 respected men managed the public business in an official council. It was very typical for them to call 7 men to develop a council. It was a Jewish practice. So they called for 7 men, select 7 men. Now such men were to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, they were to be wise, and they were to be known for these qualities. Why do you want men who are filled with the Spirit? You want men who are filled with the Spirit because they produce qualities like love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, patience. These are qualities that you desperately need if you're going to be involved in distributing necessary livelihood needs to widows. Very, very important. And so that's the kind of, and they had to have the reputation. They were known for this, so the widows would be comfortable with them. These widows, these are men who are serving their food needs. They don't have husbands, their husbands are deceased, so they trust these men that they're going to be reliable. And they're going to come through. So they have to be known for these qualities of being controlled by the Spirit, and be wise. There might be some widows that might tend to manipulate or try to take advantage. You never know. But these men had to be wise. They had to think. And they had to be shrewd. Now, such men were to be controlled by the Spirit. And then the apostles would then commission these 7 to oversee the distribution ministry. Why the apostles? The apostles were the ones who had the authority. So what you wanted to do is to call these 7 men in front of the entire congregation of 10,000 people, whatever. And the apostles, Peter, James, John, and so forth, they would lay their hands on these men, on their heads, and by prayer they would commit them in front of the whole congregation. That set the signal to the congregation. The apostles trust these men. And these men have the authority of the apostles to carry on that ministry. It's very, very important for someone, if they become like a VBS director, a daytime VBS or whatnot, to get clearance through the church board. And when a person becomes a VBS director, I tell them, look, you don't have to ask permission. Don't have to wait for a board meeting to ask permission to do a focus. Anytime you feel the need to do a focus, you just let us know you've got that clearance, because you've got, the director has to move things along at a certain rate, and so we want to give them that authority. And there's delegated authority. So the apostles did it. They delegated the authority. Second, the apostles addressed the priority of ministering the word. They would give themselves continually and now exclusively to prayer and to the ministry of God's word. So up until now, the apostles were getting increasingly burdened by taking care of all these widows, and they couldn't keep up with it. That was detracting from their ministry of the word. So this is a great idea. We're going to have a new situation. We need to give ourselves completely to the Word of God in prayer, and we're going to have seven men besides us who are going to give themselves completely to the ministry of helping these widows. Second, the entire congregation accepted the apostles' proposal. Now that's great. Notice how the unity was preserved. The whole congregation got involved in this. And they selected seven men, and it's interesting, all of them had Grecian names. For the early church felt that they would certainly know the Grecian Hebrews and ensure that they and none of the native Hebrew widows would be neglected in the distribution. So this was something that built the people up. Now what's interesting is one of the men, see all of these were Hebrews except one, Nicholas was a proselyte. He was a man who was a Gentile, but he had become a proselyte to Judaism and then he accepted Christ as his Savior. So he made two moves. He made as a Gentile to become a Jew, and then from Judaism he made the step to become a Christian. But here, one of the first deacons is a Gentile. And this is, of course, a harbinger of greater things to come when the church would spread out and many, many Gentiles would be saved and you'd have Gentile leaders as we now have. So, third, the congregation placed these seven men before the apostles, and when the apostles had prayed about the matter, they laid their hands on the seven, giving them authority for their ministry. Now notice the result. The result is verse 7. And the word of God increased. Why did the word of God increase? The apostles now had complete devotion to the ministry of the word of God. They weren't distracted. Now it was important for these widows to be fed, but it wasn't so important that it was worthy of these men getting away from the word. The men were able to focus on the word of God, and the word of God increased. That can only help the church. So the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Why? They're taking care of their widows. That's a reputation, and that's a testimony. And you'll notice also, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I think why the priests were obedient. See, the priests and the Levites were often responsible for the disbursement of goods and items to people in need. They dealt often with the poor. They saw the church taking care of these widows and that they were taking care of not only Aramaic Jews, Jewish widows, but also the Greek-speaking Jewish widows who didn't live in Palestine. That was a tremendous testimony, and it touched the hearts of these men. So you had a whole lot of priests who came to the Lord. So you've got body, this is body life at its best. You got the ministers of the word, they're focusing on the word. You've got these other deacons who are focusing on the ministry and making sure the goods are being out and being distributed to everybody. And so the word of God increased. Because this decision enabled the apostles to focus entirely on the ministry of the word and prayer instead of spending some of their time distributing goods. And the number of the disciples greatly increased. Many of the priests believed in Jesus. So the lesson is when confronted with their human limitations of cultural differences with Grecian Hebrews and the time and energy constraints in their ministry of the word created by having to distribute gifts to needy believers, the apostles rightly realized the need to meet their own priority of the ministry of the word, while also seeing that the Grecian widows not be neglected by delegating the distribution ministry out to other qualified men. The result was an even greater expansion of the ministry of the word and a greater numerical growth in the church. So, application number one, may we recognize the important priority of the ministry of the word of God in the church, and two, while also seeing the importance of meeting pressing human needs in the body by the delegation of responsibilities. Three, these differing ministries are not to be competitive against one another, but complementary parts of the entire church. Very, very important. I got a call this past week from a lady from a Christian school in the area. She had heard about our teen VBS at night and wanted me to clarify what went on there. So I shared the best I knew, and I sicked her onto the slates. I said, maybe I'll call the slates. They would fill you in on much more of this. But what I described to her, she liked. She said, would you mind if on our school website, we're looking for good summer activities for teens in our school? would you mind if we put your teen VBS on there? And she said, do you have like a regular youth meeting? I said, well, we do have teen Bible studies that goes on at various times throughout the year. So she said, could I put that on? I said,
yeah,
I have no problem with that. So here we got, there's a Christian school in the area that's going to advertise our teen VBS, evening VBS, and they're going to put our teen Bible studies and advertise that as a recommendation. Because she heard someone, I think in their school, their young people had come to the one of our VBSs, and I thought, this is great. And afterwards, I was thinking about that in relationship to this message. Here's a teen VBS. In fact, I'm working, I'm studying throughout the day, and sometimes I have to come back even later in the afternoon, sometimes even at night, because my time is taken up with daytime VBS. So often I'm busy here just working on the Word, and I don't make it to the evening VBSs, but it's amazing that that is a complementary ministry, because the teen VBS, it reaches out. There's a lot of fun things. There are activities. There's a Bible study, whatnot. But it reaches out and gets a hold of people and ties them into the ministry of the Word. And yet I'm free to go ahead and minister the Word this way. Complementary. And that's what God wants. He wants us to look at priorities. He also wants us to look at human need and address both of them. It's not one or the other. The needs of the widows needed to be met, and had to be met. And yet the need of the ministry of the Word had to be met. Okay, you have delegation of authority. And the church blossomed under that. And that's what God wants us to continue. We're seeing this more and more happen within our body, and it's great. For that to occur. But it's really wonderful to have this understanding. The apostles called the entire congregation together, got the whole congregation wrapped up into what we're about, what we're doing, why we're doing it. And it met everybody's understanding. So when they came away from the meeting, everybody knew what was going on. And everybody understood the place of the apostles. Everybody else understood the place of the deacons. And the church blossomed. So what we need to do is to keep the communication, doors of communication open, but go ahead and as we see the needs expand, that we incorporate, that we delegate responsibility out so that we're addressing both the needs and yet keeping our priorities straight.